Everybody Googles everything, especially potential customers or employers, and a business or personal online reputation can make or break you. If negative search results or reviews are impacting you, Webmax is here to help. Our proven process restores your online reputation quickly and effectively, and it matters. Don't let negative results control your narrative. Visit GoWebmax.com and fill out a brief confidential form to see how we can help. Remember, if you aren't paying attention to your online reputation, someone else is. GoWebmax.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to luckylandslots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void or prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. ChumbaCasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Support for this podcast comes from Frito-Lay and the 2023 Snack Bracket Championship. The Frito-Lay Snacker Challenge is underway, and fans are voting on their favorite snacks to crown champion. We're talking about primetime matchups between the best 64 snacks in the land. Will Ruffles Ridges reign supreme? Can Doritos defend their dynasty? Or will Smart Food use their smarts for a surprise upset? Only you can decide. Get in on all the action for a chance to win up to $1,000 or a year's worth of snacks. Let your snacks be heard. Just go to FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com to vote and enter for a chance to win. No purchase necessary. Sweepstakes ends April 3rd, 2023. Void where prohibited. Year's worth of snacks awarded in the form of 52 coupons, each good for one bag of chips. See official rules at FritoLaySnackIt.SBNation.com.
What's shaking, Red Nation? This is Jeremy Brenner, host of The Dream Take, presented by The Dream Shake, home of all things Houston Rockets at SBNation.com. We're talking another loss today, guys, but still, like we have all week, a lot of fun things to talk about, and I'm doing it with my co-pilot, Mr. Michael Brown. Mike, welcome aboard the rocket ship we have here at The Dream Take. What's going on, brother?
What up, man? Just enjoying another loss.
That sounds like, yeah.
It's great. It's fantastic. It's awesome. Woohoo!
Yeah, but honestly, Mike, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start this off with a hot take, and then this will get us going.
Yes!
I feel the most confident in the Rockets at this moment than I have all season long.
Which is really weird because we just lost two games in a row to Sacramento at home.
Right, but given the background, okay, given the backdrop of the game, and given just how the losses have taken place, this team has direction. I feel like this team has an identity for the first time, really all season long. This team has an identity, and to be honest, that to me is more important than a tally in the win column at this point in the year.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. I mean, tonight, I mean, Jalen with a career high at 33. Dude, correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure I've got the receipts that I mentioned Bruno Fernando as a guy to watch when we traded for him. Am I wrong in that? I don't think I am. Pretty sure you and I talked about that trade and I said, I like that Bruno Fernando kid.
I'm gonna have to go scroll back through a few episodes. Find that.
Because I said I liked his body.
It makes
his
sense.
Body frame, I should say.
You've said that we've needed an archetype like that
on the team for a while. Yep. But like, that's part of it too. And while Bruno Fernando might not be that guy next season or the guy moving forward, having a guy like that can be really effective for the Rockets. I don't necessarily know if that guy is going to be in the starting five or in the bench, but I do think that having that guy on the roster, someone that we really haven't seen a whole lot of this year, is extremely important. And I think it's going to show more of what the Rockets need going into this offseason.
Well, so wait. So are you saying that you don't think Bruno Fernando will be on the team next year?
Well, Bruno Fernando has an expiring contract, if I'm not mistaken. And the way I see it...
No. Would you sign him?
The way I see it, Mike, is I just don't know how he's going to get minutes next season. He might be your 15th man. He might be that last man on the bench that you're like, okay, he's got a little bit of upside. Let's see what we got. But if I'm the Rockets, I've got to get minutes for Şengün. I've got to get minutes for Garuba. I've got to get minutes for likely a rookie big that we're about to bring in. And that puts three people in front of Bruno Fernando that I would give minutes to at the five. So like what I'm saying is, the reason, like, Bruno Fernando, obviously in these last two games and then that game against Dallas he had a couple weeks ago, you know, he looks really good. And you want a guy like that in the NBA. And he looks like a guy that's playing for his NBA life right now. And he's, I think, doing a decent enough job in staying in the NBA. The only problem is I just don't see how he's going to be able to jump that. I think he needs a situation that is a little bit more tailored for him. I think he's done well with the opportunity he's been given here in Houston. I just don't know if that opportunity is going to be there next season.
Yeah, a lot of it's dependent on the draft. I like what I see from him. You know, he makes good decisions for the most part on
the court.
He's
playing with effort. He's playing with effort,
right,
too.
Right, and look, man, it's... Well, what am I trying to say? He's 6'9". He's an imposing presence on the court. I thought tonight Ryan Hollins had one of the most outlandish things I've ever heard him say, saying that there are guys that are afraid of him on the court. I don't think anybody's afraid of him. I think it's more of he knows his role. You know who he reminds
me of? Well, he's a big dude.
Well, you know who he reminds me of?
I think that's what he was trying to say in that he's a big dude.
He reminds me of a more skilled Joey Dorsey is what he reminds me of. And Joey Dorsey carved himself out a nice little career in the NBA. But Bruno Fernando and Joey Dorsey have a lot of similarities. Rockets legend Joey Dorsey, I should say.
Yeah, but Mike, if I have to choose between, you know, Joey Dorsey and Usman Garuba and Alperen Şengün and whoever we get in this draft, I'm choosing Joey Dorsey last.
Oh, no. For sure. But it depends on where you pick.
Joey Dorsey played like 3 or 4 years in the NBA.
Well, yes. I'm talking about body type. I'm not talking about.
Yeah, body type.
I think Fernando's got a higher ceiling than a guy like Joey Dorsey. Let me give you for instance, right? If they draft Jabari Smith, I could see Bruno Fernando being more of a necessity on next year's roster. If they draft Chet or Paolo, then Fernando's out. That's where I'm going with a Bruno Fernando and his ceiling on next year's roster. I think he's going to be on next year's. That's my hot take after tonight, outside of Jalen Green just being out of his freaking mind right now. I think Bruno Fernando is part of this team next year.
I would consider giving Fernando a two-way.
Yeah, I don't mind that. I don't think he gets any better on a two-way deal, though.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think you're eligible for 2-way 4 years in the league. So next year will be his fourth year in the league, his last year eligible for a 2-way. There is a lot of upside with him, but I just don't think, like, that's the good thing is there's a lot of guys in the Rockets with upside, and the Rockets can now are in a position where they can choose because they have enough people with upside that they can decide who's worth keeping, sure, and who's worth going. And they're not really in a position like that right now. If you got upside, you've got a spot on this team. And that's the thing is they've been playing guys that all they are, you know, guys that are just trying to stay in the NBA. Guys like Garrison Matthews, guys like Bruno Fernando, guys like Dacian Nix. You know, that's like half the team tonight it may not be in the NBA next year. But the thing is with Houston, the culture that I think they're starting to build is one where, you know, they're going to play every game, and they're going to play hard every game. And I can respect that. At least that's what we've seen recently. Obviously, we can't say that we've seen that all season long, but I hope that in this last couple of weeks, what we've seen since basically the Portland games, that there is a path for this team moving forward. And I'm starting to see that foundation instead of just a bunch of blocks. Now they're looking like a bunch of Legos, and the Legos are being put together.
Yeah, I think the one thing that I will say of why I'm against a guy going on a two-way deal, you saw how good Deshaun Nix was in the G League, and this is through no fault of his own. He hasn't been good with the main roster.
This is what we call, really?
No.
You don't think Deshaun Nix is worth keeping?
No. I didn't say that. I said right now. I said since coming up from the G League this year, I should have been more explicit. He has not been good on the main roster versus what he was showing in the G League.
Well, yeah, because he's too good for the G League.
Exactly. Bruno Fernando is too good for the G League, the way I see it.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is like in baseball, this is what we call, you know, quad A players.
Him. Right.
These are players that, you know, if they go to AAA, they'll mash. If they go to the bigs, they'll struggle. Right. And at the end of the day, the big league team is what we need to have succeed.
Sure.
So, and that's, if they struggle at the big league level, then they're not cut out for it.
That's fair. And that's why I would rather have him be a 15th guy than he's not going to, there's nothing for him to do in the G League.
Well, I think you're taking two way and you're kind of running with it. But like what I think of two way, I'm thinking of a guy like Garrison Matthews. Like Garrison Matthews is on a two-way contract. He played on the main roster. They gave him a shot in the middle of the season. He played. He earned his contract.
That's fair. Yeah. Maybe
you give that to Fernando. If he plays well enough at the beginning of next season, then you give him the contract. I just don't see how. And the only way he's going to be able to do that is if somebody gets injured, whether it's Shangoon or Garuba or the rookie or whoever. So that's kind of where I'm coming from. But the main reason why I kind of want to go back to like the game itself. So this team just it just feels different. There's this energy there. There's this direction. This feels like a real team. The problems that this team is facing, Mike, the defense needs to get better. And I think we need more consistency from guys like Josh Christopher and, you know, KJ Martin. You know, like the thing that we've seen in these last two or three games, right? Jalen's gone off. He scored 30 in Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. 33 tonight was a career high. Kevin Porter has had 20 and 10, I think, in every game so far in this week. But we're starting to see how the two of them can coexist. And then you get a third scorer. Sometimes that's Josh Christopher. Sometimes it's Garrison Matthews. Sometimes that's, you know, whoever. But not only that, they're going to add somebody who hopefully is going to be a top five pick. On top of this,
yeah.
And that's where things are starting to kind of make sense a little bit.
It makes sense. I like it. I think the more consistency is going to come when next year they have a more defined role. Because right now, they don't really have designated roles, and that's detrimental to the development of their game.
But I think this week we've seen those roles defined. Jalen and Scoop, y'all go shoot the ball 20 times. Please make 10. Like, and tonight, Jalen went 9 of 24 from the field. Scoot went 11 of 24 from the field. Scoot made four threes. Jalen Green made six threes. Garrison Matthews made six threes. Another thing, too, I think I'm curious to see what's going to happen when next season, because next season, getting Jalen a three-point shot is going to be difficult, a little bit more difficult. And that's going to be the next level of his game, is how is he going to be able to use his three-point threat to drive. And I think once he's able to get fouled, and that'll come with him just getting more experience and learning the game and how to get fouled and things like that, then I think we could see this 30 thing, 25-30, on a nightly basis. And that is a guy that can be the best player on the floor. And I think a lot of the reason why the Rockets haven't won a whole lot this year is because most of the time they don't have the best player on the floor. But I guarantee tonight the best player on the floor was Jalen Green. They didn't win, but they've had a chance to win. And that has been more than what we can say for most of these games this season. So the vision is there. I'm seeing the vision, and I'm buying into the vision, Mike, more than I have all season long.
Yeah, I think the vision is there. I think it's the one plea that I have to the front office is that if this week does not prove to them that it is time to go full youth, then they're not doing this thing right. We've been calling for it all year. The fact that the fact that it took the coaching staff 70 some odd games to get to this realization is ridiculously bad, but at least they're there now. And we see it in the last 2 weeks of the season on what this team should be doing, because there is no downfall to it. Like, it's literally a win-win no matter what type of fan you are. It's if you like this team to lose, play the young guys. If you want these guys to develop like I do and get to the path of being a contender as quickly as possible, then playing the young guys is the answer. It's not playing guys like Eric Gordon, and Dennis Schroeder, and Christian Wood. Like, those guys and David Nwaba all have to go this offseason.
But the thing is, Mike, is that's not going to happen.
Then they're not doing this thing right.
But I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. You do need veterans. You do need a mix of guys that can, you know, put you in the right position. Because if we think about it still, Eric Gordon's probably the name out of that group that you just mentioned that stands out to me the most. You know how many games the Rockets have won this year without Eric Gordon? No.
Something like 7.
1. You want to know what that one game was? Last Saturday against the Blazers. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So, like, yes, I totally agree with what you're saying, but the numbers and the facts don't back up to that statement. And while I do think a lot of this core that they've played in the last two games is going to be next year's rotation, they are going to have some veterans here and there to round out the roster, make the roster complete, and then sometimes they get playing time. You know, Eric Gordon's probably the one name that stuck out to me most because I just happen to have that stat off the top of my head. But also, I think the Rockets are going to still be pretty firm in their asking price for him. If they don't get it, they're not going to trade him. And he is under contract next year. So you should look into, you know, the idea of Eric Gordon being on this team next year. I don't know if it's going to be as a sixth man. I don't know if it's going to be as a starter. I would like to think it would be as a starter. My guess is the starting lineup next year looks like Kevin Porter, Jalen Green, Eric Gordon, and probably Jayshon Tate and whoever they draft. And then Şengün comes off the bench and Christopher comes off the bench. Those are the first two guys off the bench with Garrison Matthews and KJ.
I will vomit if that's the truth. Because look, man, I've been wrong before. Keeping Eric Gordon. There's no benefit. There's no benefit to me. You know what? Hot take. I'd rather have Dennis Schroeder than Eric Gordon on this roster.
And well, Dennis Schroeder's definitely not coming back.
Dennis
Schroeder's definitely not coming back because the way the Rockets are trying to build, in order for Kevin Porter to be this point guard of the future that everyone is trying to, you know, have come in existence, he's going to need a guy like Jalen Green there, and he's going to need like Josh Christopher. I think that, like, the vision there is to put at least two guys on the floor like that at all times with guys that can create their own shot, that can kind of do their own thing. Eric Gordon's role is going to have to change because of how the team is playing. And if Christian Wood returns, his role is going to have to change. I just think with Christian Wood, it's going to be really hard for him to adapt so much because that is a big reason, I think, why these last two games have shown as much of a vision because Christian Wood's not on the floor. And Christian Wood's a guy that needs the ball in his hands. He takes shots away from Kevin Porter, Jalen Green.
So does Eric Gordon. So what's the benefit of having Gordon here? There's not outside of veteran presence. Give me one positive to having Eric Gordon on this team.
I'm saying
year.
Eric Gordon takes away more like Garrett Matthews shots.
That's yeah, but it also, but overall,
like
it takes
Gordon
away.
Plays like a Garrison Matthews, that would be fine. But I see what you're saying in that Eric Gordon is not Garrison Matthews. Eric Gordon is more kind of what they want Josh Christopher to be. And
right, and it's also taking minutes and shots away.
Because that's
expensive.
The thing we've seen Josh Christopher improve when Eric Gordon's not in the game. But the question is, can this group without Eric Gordon win games next year? We don't know yet, obviously, but they've proven this year that without Eric Gordon, it's really difficult for them to win.
Well, the roster is also god awful,
right? But
I like that.
So are you saying we're not trying, like the Rockets, as long as they have Eric Gordon on the roster, are not trying to win?
I think what they're trying to do with Eric Gordon on the roster is continue to not go 100% all in on the youth, which is stupid. Jimmy, this is now 2 years of having Eric Gordon be a part of a cast of misfit toys. He doesn't fit. He's expensive. The coaching staff already doesn't know how to manage the minutes of this roster, and adding Eric Gordon and Christian Wood back to that will just put a deeper dive into the fact, A, Silas should not be here next year, so you should have a brand new head coach next year. And
I think Silas has won his job back. I think Silas has won his job back in the last couple of days.
How?
Because of the progress this team is making. You can't disagree with me on the fact that we've seen a lot of progress in the last five games.
I think through the last five games.
Silas has done enough to at least earn for me one more year. This is what this year has been about, right? This year has been about carving out roles and defining roles for these guys, and it's taken 75 games to finally get here. So now you're going into next season with a head start. You know the strengths of your guys. You know how they tick. You know how, you know, they complement one another, and now you have to elevate that. There's no more finding out, figuring out. You have roles for these guys. You have a vision here. You have more than just nothing. You have more than just individual Legos. You have a little bit of a structure. So now build off of that structure. And I think that's what they're basically going to tell Eric Gordon to do. They're going to be like, you know, this is how we want you to play, EG. And if he isn't like that, it's really going to cost Silas's job. Because at this point, like, we know Josh Christopher's where they're at. Look, think about it with Josh Christopher, right? They thought Josh Christopher was going to be in the G League all year. He's the first guy off the bench.
So whose minutes are you going to give Eric Gordon? Let's say he gets 25 minutes.
Garrison Matthews.
It's such a bad bet, though, Jeremy.
Garrison Matthews.
But it's such a bad bet. Why would you bet on Eric Gordon for next year over Garrison Matthews? That doesn't make any sense.
Garrison Matthews is a streaky guy.
He's a streaky
guy.
Just
as much as Eric Gordon is. Tonight he was great. Yeah, but like Mike,
Eric Gordon has been hot dog water the entire year. He hasn't been good.
Eric Gordon will pull 20 out of a hat sometimes.
So,
Probably just as often, if not more often, than Garrison Matthews, and he's better on the defensive end.
So you're going to pay $18 million. Actually, it goes up next year to $20.25 million to Eric Gordon to sometimes pull 20 out of a hat, because that doesn't make any sense at all.
But what I'm saying here, Mike, is I'm not necessarily advocating for playing Eric Gordon. I'm saying this is why the Rockets would do it, because they're not going to just trade Eric Gordon for hot dog water.
Jeremy Brenner, take the Rockets out of it. Do you want Eric Gordon on the roster?
No, I don't. I would rather have Josh Christopher play.
There it is. That's all. See,
what I'm
on the
saying,
same
Mike, is this. But yeah, I'm not saying that we're not. But what I'm saying is, this is a very big possibility, because from what we've seen this front office do, there is a very good possibility Eric Gordon's on the scene next year.
This is me, Mike.
This is the whole premise of our show. You are the voice of the fans. You are Red Nation to the core. And I'm right there with you. I'm part of Red Nation myself. But I speak for what I'm seeing on the court from the team's perspective, the organization's perspective, and looking at that. And I'm trying to, you know, try to foil what fans think is what's what should happen, because every like not everything that the Rockets do is what the fans want.
Well,
that's what I'm trying to say. Yes. Is I'm trying to like not I'm trying to be like a I'm trying to hum like I'm basically I'm just trying to not necessarily humble fans, but I'm just trying to open up a perspective based on what the organization has told us so far. We saw at the trade deadline that the Rockets were very strong on keeping Eric Gordon unless they got an offer that they felt was worth it. And they didn't. And I can't imagine that offer is going to come in the offseason. If it does, take it. But I think they're going to be really, you know, they're going to stand their ground on Eric Gordon. And if he's still on the roster come opening night, their job is going to be the same job that they had last year. Play him up and trade him at the deadline to the highest bidder. This year, they'll be much more likely to trade Eric Gordon because he is 1 year closer to the end of his deal. This year, with 2 years left on his deal, they didn't feel the need to trade him as much as they would if he were an expiring contract.
The way, I mean, all of that makes sense, right?
And any veteran that is on the team at the beginning of the year next year is going to play a lot, just like we saw this year, because they're trying to feature them into a trade at the trade deadline and get more assets than they already have, because that's what the Rockets are trying to do. They're trying to build as many assets as possible, and now they're finally cashing in on those assets, and it's turning into something that can hopefully turn into a really good team.
Potentially. I mean, the front office has proven to me over the last 2 years, outside of the draft, they can't build this roster. They just can't.
But Mike, what are we seeing now?
Losing to Sacramento in back-to-back games. And yes, before you say anything, before anybody else says anything, you know, it's not about wins. It's about developing the roster. It's what they've been doing for 2 years, and they still can't beat the Kings at home.
But they're building. We're finally seeing that progress. Would you not agree?
I think that you are seeing individual guys improve. Yes, totally agree with you. But fact remains.
No, I think it's more than that. I think it's more than that for sure.
I don't. The fact remains for me, as long as Silas coaches this team will never be of anything of significance. The fact that you're talking about the same thing now that you were at the beginning of the year, not you, everybody, that says you got to keep Gordon, you got to play him, build up the value. That's what they were doing this year, and it didn't work. What makes anybody think that it's going to work next year?
Yeah, no, I'm saying that was a miss. But what I'm saying is, here's why I feel as confident as I do. I don't know if I – let me try to re-explain it, I guess. It's more than just individual guys getting better, in my opinion. Because I think what we're seeing tonight is we're finally seeing a scenario where Kevin Porter and Jalen Green are at their best. And this is not just an individual thing. It's because the way the team is constructed complements them really well. And Jalen and Kevin Porter really complement each other well. And when they bring Christopher off the bench, I think that works. We saw in Portland how when you put Şengün in the game with Jalen Green, how much that works. It's more than just individual guys getting better. It's both. It's individual guys improving on their game as the season goes on. And we're starting to see a vision for how this could translate to wins down the line. I think what we're going to see with Jalen is like, for him getting better is not really about scoring more points. I mean, like, we've seen three straight games of 30 points or more. It's not like he's going to get to 40 points a game on a consistent basis. If that happens and he goes all James Harden out, then the Rockets will be a contender, no question. But what we need to see is instead of three straight games of 30, we need to see him get to a point of let's get to 9 out of 10 games of 30, or let's get to, you know, 15 of 20 games where he has 30 points. Or every night where he's going at least 20, 25, and he's getting 20 shots or so, and he's making threes at a 40% rate. That, from what I'm seeing, is I'm seeing the fact the Rockets at their cornerstone acting like a cornerstone, and their best player is getting the most shots. That is why I feel as high as I do right now about the Rockets, and it's more than just individual players getting better.
I mean, on a scale of 1 to 10, what's your confidence level going into this offseason that they are going to dramatically improve the roster before next year. Because they have a lot of decisions to make.
I'm going
to
go with this. I'm going to go with the seven. You know why? They have multiple first round picks, probably two in the top 20 and one in the top five. And it's really hard to not improve your roster when you have that in your corner. On top of that, Jalen Green is going to get better. And by getting better, I mean just continue to get more consistent and to get and to be able to use the rest of his game. Like, him having that three-point shot is so huge, because once he gets that, then he'll be able to find a way to drive. And then once he becomes big enough to where if he doesn't make the shot, he's going to get fouled, that is when things are starting to figure out. It's how his game will evolve over time in the first half of his career or the first third of his career. And then it's going to turn into something even more incredible. But let me bring our buddy from down under, Shane, up here. Let's see what takes he has to drop. Shane, welcome to the show. Yo. How are you doing?
Hey, good, man. I'm good, guys. How are you guys doing? That's good. I just wanted to ask, it's actually more a question than a statement. I just want to get both of your opinions on it. I know that after next year, we owe our draft pick to the Thunder. So supposedly the plan is meant to be that we're meant to be competitive and trying to get into the playoffs after next year. I just want to know, do you guys think we're on track, behind where we want to be? Like, how do you look at that to actually becoming that competitive team we're meant to become after next year?
Mike, you can go for me.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I think they're drastically behind. I think Jeremy has a much higher vision of what this team currently is than I do. I would love to be wrong. I think right now you're seeing individual guys excel at a high level because guys like Christian Wood and Eric Gordon just aren't playing. I think the system built for them to succeed over an 82-game season under the current coaching staff will not work. I don't think anything changes with them becoming a playoff contender until they get rid of Silas. I love what I see from individual guys. I think guys are getting better, which is good to see, which is going to happen with, you know, them just getting more playing time. But overall, I think the roster is a complete mess. I think it has no direction whatsoever for a lion's share of the guys that they have under contract. And I think that they've got a lot of major decisions to make in the offseason, i.e. Eric Gordon, Christian Wood, Jayshon Tate in the starting lineup. What do you do at the point guard position, starting and backup point guard position? So that's where I'm at with it.
I want to say, I think I've just resigned to the fact that Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green are going to be the starting backcourt until this thing either gets good or goes really downhill. I think that's almost in there.
And you could do a lot worse. Jay, you could do a lot worse than Kevin Porter Jr. as your starting point guard. I just don't believe he's the right guy at that spot to take you to the next level. I think he's the right guy in that spot if you want to score a lot of points and make games exciting, but not necessarily win a whole lot of games, because he's now in year two of being the starting point guard and you're not winning a lot of games. Your roster is not good. I give you that, but all the numbers and everything don't mean anything if you don't win games.
26 points, 7 assists on Monday. On Wednesday, 30 points, 12 assists. And then today he had 27 and 11. We're really still questioning whether Kevin Porter could be the starting point guard.
And you're what, 0-3 in the game?
Yeah, but Mike.
Okay, so you're 0-3.
Mike.
Okay. That's why you question it.
Yeah, but like they lose these games, but they're losing these games by a 3, like 3 points, 5 points. And they're not playing with, you know, a set, like they're getting a top 5 pick who's supposed to be their center next year. More talent is on the way. That's why I feel confident. The thing with Mike is, and this is exactly why Mike answered the question the way he did, is because Mike looks at draft picks as just that. They're picks. They're nothing to, they're nothing yet. And that's totally fair. The Rockets have to hit on that draft. The Rockets have to hit on the draft in order for this to work. So here's what I see. I am still a little skeptical on Silas. I think he's done enough in these last couple of games to where he's earned at least next season. But next season, that seat temperature is warm, getting close to hot. If they are at this point next year, Silas got to go for sure. And even if we get to a point in the middle of the season, I would say, you know, maybe it's time to go for Silas. I think, though, what we've seen the last little bit is we're starting to see a vision here. Once these guys come in, I'm assuming these draft picks, at least one of the two first round picks that they get this year is going to hit. And I do think that we're going to get one of those top three. I'm assuming that we're going to get a top three pick and we're going to get Chet, Jabari, or Paolo. And I do think that whichever guy they get is going to be able to fit in with those guys. That's, to me, who they should go out and get, is the guy that's going to best benefit Jalen Green and Kevin Porter. To me, I have no more question marks about Kevin Porter. As long as he keeps his off-the-court stuff, you know, level-headed, as long as he maintains that head, that determination that he has that we've seen in this last week, I'm feeling really confident here. And I only think it's going to get better. I think part of his I don't want to use the word behavior because it sounds kind of – I'll use actions. Part of his actions this year I think can be contributed to not winning a whole lot. I do think next season we're going to start to see a little bit of progress. And in terms of the playoffs, you got to beat five teams. You got to beat five teams in the West to get to the playoffs. And that's all going to be contingent on how other teams do, but as well, are they going to improve on the same rate as the Rockets are? And to me, it's going to be very hard for other teams to catch up with the Rockets because we have double the amount of first round picks that some teams do. And we already have a 20-year-old guy that just dropped 30 points in three straight games. To me, that the Rockets are going to be, if in 2024, to answer your question, Shane, 2024, the Rockets will be sniffing the play-in. And by 2025, they should be in the playoffs. That's where I think this is looking at.
Yeah, because you have no incentive to tank anymore after next year. The one thing I do question with Silas is it feels like, and I don't know if this is just player execution, but it feels like in games where it's close and the game is on the line, that our execution to actually get the ball into like Jalen Green's hands is like really horrible. For the most part.
And that will get better over time. That's what I'm saying is now that they have like the system in place, the pieces in place, now it's all about building this team around Jalen and figuring out how to best utilize Jalen as your primary guy. And because now you're seeing how much he has to his game and how much he's going to evolve and grow, it's going to be – this team is going to be better next year. I'm seeing this team get better each and every year. Yes, it might not be translating to wins. I do think, though, that has to do with the fact that they're playing guys like Bruno Fernando and Dacian Nix. And, like, those guys I don't necessarily think are going to be Bruno Fernando and Dacian Nix next year. They're either going to be better versions of those guys – or they're going to be replaced by younger guys that are just more talented or veterans that are more talented.
Yeah, I like Bruno, though, to be honest.
I like them all. Every person that checked into the game tonight is there because there's something good to look – like there's something there that the Rockets want to explore. There is interest in there moving forward. So that is why – that is why these last couple games have been so exciting, because there hasn't been a single person that hasn't checked in that game that we know is not going to be here, or that we know for sure is not going to be here next year. Everyone has upside that enters the game.
Yeah.
So that's why these last couple games have been exciting. But Shane, I'm going to head out. We're about to sign off here, but really appreciate you coming on and dropping your take.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, Mike, we have a good team. I'm telling you, this team will be good someday, really soon, sooner than you know it. I'm telling you right now.
I mean, I don't disagree with you, man. I'm just, I hope, and I know the front office doesn't give a damn about fans like me, right? Because I wear emotions of a fan on my sleeve, but I also look at this team and I'm tired of losing. And I get it. Trust me. I understand. It's part of the process. Yada, yada, yada. Well, you know what the Sixers have done since they started their process? Nothing. You know what Boston did when they hoarded all those draft picks and thought they were smarter than the rest of the league? Not a damn thing.
Well, Mike.
And the writing is on the wall. This roster is not good. Silas, not good. Sometimes look at the obvious and you move on, because we're going to be at the same spot next year with Silas on the sidelines with that same dumbass look on his face. Sorry.
But the thing is, Mike, is when it comes to Boston and Philly, they have done just as much as the Rockets have in the last almost 30 years. They haven't been to a final.
What? Boston has won a championship.
Okay, but this current iteration of the Boston team with Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, they haven't been to a finals yet. Which is the same thing the Rockets have. So you're telling me your whole life as a Rockets fan since 1996 has been pain? You have felt pain every single day?
Since 90? Okay, I'll call it since 2000, because that's when I can start to remember my life as a Rockets fan. Okay, putting all the cards on the table, mostly? Yeah, pretty much.
Then that's just someone that's really hard to impress.
It's not that I'm hard to impress. It's the fact
it is.
That
if you're saying championship or bust, if you have a championship or bust mentality, I mean, that's fine, but you're setting yourself up to be disappointed because only one team wins the championship every year. 2019, go home empty handed and pissed off.
But let me ask you a question. You're going to tell me in the Harden era, having a championship, not the beginning of the Harden era, but the latter part of the Harden era, the last 5 years, I'll call it, having a championship or bust mentality was not the right mentality to have?
Yeah, I think that's fine. But like, you can't look at this team and say championship or bust.
No, absolutely not. But I'm saying that we all know what's going to happen by keeping Silas. We all know what this is going to look like next year.
See, I don't necessarily
look at Memphis. Memphis changes their coach and is dominating the league right now.
Yeah, but Memphis did that at a time when they were at the bottom. You know what I'm saying? When they bottomed out, they changed their coach, and their coach improved that team gradually. With Steven Silas, I would say, like, you know, he hasn't done enough to impress me, but at the same time, I think it was fair to give him a second year after the shit year he had last year.
I don't disagree.
And then this year, it's to be determined. We'll see.
You're tied for the worst record in the league.
Look, I said this a couple weeks ago. If Silas gets fired, I will understand it. I might not necessarily fully agree with it. But the thing is, the reason why I'm saying yes to Silas coming back next year is because of what I've seen these last five games. It's been enough to convince me. Because I remember it was a few weeks ago. It was the show by myself. It was that game where against the Grizzlies. It was that Sunday afternoon game. I said then, I was like, Steven Silas, you know, this is the lowest I've been about on Steven Silas. These last couple of games have changed that for me. I will say it has. It has changed it a little bit. I'm now into should be fired to should have a really, really, really hot seat going in the next season. I'm not like totally yes, like Steven Silas is that guy. But he's shown enough to me where if you give him an offseason, like a full true offseason, where you have guys that are all coming back, that all know their role, that all know how to play with each other. You're telling me that definitely is not going to work?
Here's my
give him an offseason. Like, this team hasn't really had a full offseason together yet. That's what I'm saying is give this team an offseason. Give Silas an offseason where he knows what he's going into for the next season and go from there.
But if you're going to have him have an extremely hot seat, then why not give a new coach that offseason with the guys?
Because then you're starting over with a brand new guy, and then you have even more uncertainty. You have more uncertainty going in next year with a new coach than you have with Silas.
but I'd rather go in with a new set of eyes, with a new system.
Yeah, but then all of the guys, all of the progress that they've made this season, most of it goes out the window because they're now learning a brand new system. And what I'm saying is the system that the Rockets have shown in these last five games, the way that they've built this team, that is what I'm – that like when I think of the Rockets, when I thought of them at the beginning of the season, this is the version of the Rockets I thought was going to happen. Now, if one thing goes a different way or not –
it's the one they should have had.
Mike, is with an improved defense – with a slightly improved defense, I'm not saying drastically improved, with a slightly improved defense, the Rockets be 3-0 this week. Like, for like sure. It's really not, sure. Like, yeah, 0-3 is here, but it's worth what? Like 11 points away from being 3-0. Like, it's really not that much. Like, we're really not, like, so yes, the losses suck, but when I watch the game, I see progress. I see the vision. The vision is coming together, and that, and Steven Silas deserves credit for it. And by taking Silas away from that, you're automatically throwing it away, and you're forcing these players all of this progress that they've taken. It's taken a full season to get at. Now you're basically saying, okay, this is really year one instead of this year. This year is year one. But
you're acting like taking away the coach takes away the progress the guys have made. I don't agree with
that. The thing is, Mike, is it might not, but it might. And if you take a new coach, you run that risk. You run that risk of this progress they've built going south, because they have built chemistry together. They have built this team together. I personally think the chances of Silas getting fired at this point are probably around 20%. I really don't think it's going to happen. I just think that the players like him too much. I think he's earned a spot to at least be here for next season. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you go and you get a guy and you bring him in, what the other guy have might totally work, but it also might not. And the Rockets at this point, if they really are trying to be good for 2024, because that year is a non-tanking year. They can't tank in 2024. So
why do they have to tank next year?
I'm not saying they do, but I'm not saying they do. In fact, I don't think they do, because I think that there's a chance that with this team together, but I think the chances of us tanking next year are less with Steven Silas as the coach than without. Because but the thing is,
oh, I don't
know. It also depends who you get as the coach, right? If you go out and you get another guy that's a rookie that really doesn't have any experience with, like, if you got to go change Steven Silas, don't go out and get someone that is the exact, like, same as him, as like a young assistant that is looking for his first opportunity. Because that's exactly what Steven Silas is. He's still looking for his first opportunity. He has one really good one right here if he can do it right, but he hasn't proven yet that he can.
Can I give you one name? And I know we're running long.
Yeah.
I'll give you one name. Kelvin Sampson.
That's exactly who I wouldn't want.
Are you kidding me? Oh, my
Mike,
God.
Why would I want someone who's never been a head coach in the NBA? I literally
because
just
he has experience.
That. But right, no, he has I'm experience. Saying a winning track record in the NBA as a head coach. And there are not a lot of guys out there that are like that. If a guy like, I'm trying to just like, I don't have one off the top of my head because I really haven't thought about replacing Steven Silas just yet, but I'm going to need a guy like I'm trying to think realistically, like a Jeff Van Gundy makes sense for the archetype. Like, I need a guy that is a defense first head coach that has experience playing the NBA, coaching the NBA, has experience winning as a coach in the NBA. That kind of guy. But Jeff Van Gundy's not going to leave ESPN for the lowly Rockets.
So you like, want a guy like... So you're talking about a guy like Jeff Bidzelic is what you
No, because Jeff Bidzelic does not have experience winning as a head coach in the NBA.
But he has experience as an assistant.
You know what I need?
The reason why
I
named...
The archetype, what? Mike D'Antoni. Like, that guy. I need a guy to build he's going to build a system around the roster. That's what he did here in Houston last. That's who they need. But the thing is, that guy is not walking through that door anytime soon. So why not keep Steven Silas?
So you want to get a guy who has done, never reached an NBA finals with multiple organizations, failed stint in LA. I'll call it a failed stint in Houston. And now is an assistant in Philadelphia.
But Mike,
he's going to be the next head coach of the Sixers.
By using that logic, there are like, how many people qualify under that resume? And how many people in this site? I'm thinking realistically.
Are you talking about a guy like a Nate McMillan? That's what you're looking for? I name a guy like
Samson. Guy like him, but Nate McMillan's not leaving Atlanta. That's the thing.
Right. I'm talking about a like guy like Samson.
We're talking about it. And look, I could go back and research and do all that and come back on the next episode with 3 to 5 names of guys that would make sense. But the thing is, Mike, is I really don't think any of those guys are plausible at this point. Like, we're talking about, like, just, you know, moon shit. Like this shit doesn't exist. So
no, I'm talking about a guy like a McMillan.
A guy like that with a proven winning track record in the NBA. Doesn't necessarily have to win a finals or anything like that, but a guy that is respected, has proven that he can win, is going to show these guys how he can win. Like Sean mentions Terry Stotts.
Okay.
That's probably the closest that anyone has said of anything that makes sense. Ugh. Is a guy like Terry Stotts, who has proven that he can win consistently. Now, Terry Stotts, the reason why he failed in Portland is because he got them to the conference finals, but he wasn't able to get them over the hump. And the Rockets are not at that point yet. The Rockets are trying to get over the first hump, which is get out of the tank zone.
I'd rather have Terry Stotts than
than Steven Silas.
Let me ask you this. If New York fires Thibodeau, would you bring in Thibodeau?
I would consider it. I would.
Okay. Yeah. See,
I would, because I do think Thibodeau's a better somewhere. Coach, but I'm also skeptical because Tom Thibodeau's had, you know, weird things. Like what we've seen is Tom Thibodeau was able to get New York from where they were last year to the playoffs, but he hasn't been able to stay there. That's what I'm saying. We need a guy that can get us to that next level. Steven Silas hasn't proven that, but give him a shot. Why not? And then if he's not able to do that, then you go out and get a guy. I'm thinking this is going to happen at the end of next season. I'm not thinking this is going to happen now. I think this is happening after 2 years. Silas will have less. He's not going to have any more excuses at the end of next year.
Well, he has no
excuses. This year he does. This year he has plenty of reason as to why the team was the way they were without any of his doing, I'd say.
Yeah. And
but next year, he's not going to have those crutches to fall back on. He's not going to have the, oh, I had a rookie and I didn't know what to do with them. Oh, I had this guy and I don't know what to do with him. And yes, next year he's going to have rookies, and next year he's going to have guys that he's going to have to figure out. But at least he has Jalen Green. And that to me is the one building block that changes everything, because Jalen Green is the kind of guy that is the best player on the floor at any given time. So if you can't at least get 30 to 35 wins next year with Jalen Green as your guy and he's proven what he can do, then you can give him the pink slip.
Yeah. All right, look, I love the debate we're having.
Yeah, it's a good one.
We're throwing stuff out there. We're seeing what sticks. To me, I just feel like we're going to have the same conversation next year. And honestly, Jeremy, I don't know if I can do a third year of this. Because we've done two straight years of this.
What I'm saying is this year, Mike, is like last year we had absolutely no direction. The Rockets were blind. This year, they have a cane. Next year, they're going to get hopefully glasses. And then the next year, they're going to have LASIK eye surgery and they're going to be able to see everything.
We'll see.
And you can't.
I mean, we'll see.
Yeah. But I think this is a good place to park the Rockets for now. But thank you guys so much for tuning in this episode of The Dream Take. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at The Dream Take and at Dream Shake SBN. Head over to our Facebook page, give us a like over there, and head to our website, thedreamshake.com. And of all things Houston Rockets on SBNation.com. And follow my co-pilot on Twitter, Mr. Michael Brown, at
BSW Podcast _NB.
Follow me on Twitter at Jeremy Brenner, at JEREMYBRENER. We'll be back Sunday with another episode of The Dream Take. And until next time, go Rockets.
Today's episode is brought to you by Cars.com. With over 2 million vehicles and 50,000 more added every day, Cars.com will match you with the perfect car for you, your budget, your life, your style. And if you're ready to say goodbye to your current car, Cars.com will get you an instant offer to cash it in. Just start by entering your license plate and get matched with a local dealer who will write you the check. So whether you're looking to buy or sell, just go to Cars.com. It's magical.
Support for Pivot comes from Polestar. At Polestar, every inch of every vehicle they design is thoughtfully made. They're made to transform auto performance, accelerating from 0 to 60 in less than 4.2 seconds with fully electric all-wheel drive. They're made to elevate the driving experience with LED headlights and a panoramic glass roof. And they're made to uphold a greater responsibility to the planet using sustainable materials and energy-saving systems. The result is a car that combines the best of today with the technology of tomorrow. Pure performance, pure design. Polestar. Design yours and book a test drive today at polestar.com.